My name is Christine Hartmann. I'm from University of Tübingen in Germany. And today we have heard a lot about complex concepts, theories that may be applied to international relations, or it was discussed what they might, their usefulness might be. I'm turning now to the question to global governments, and I ask very concretely, what can we learn from complexity research for theorizing global governance? And concretely, I'm trying to conceptualize global governance as a multi-level process, and that's also the title of the paper. The underlying assumption is that global governance is understood as a broad, in a very broad sense, referring to processes and institutions, formal and informal, characterized by complex interactions of various types of actors among and between levels of organization, from which certain collective behavior patterns emerge. So coming from this direction, I think it's clear that I define global governance pretty much as a complex phenomenon. Now the question is, can this complex phenomenon be somehow better enlightened or explained by complexity concepts or complexity research? In dealing with this question, I follow the approach by Herbert Simon, which has also taken up by others before, notably Bechtel and his colleagues in the life sciences, where he wrote a influential book on discovering complexity. And at the heart of this approach is the distinction between decomposable and non-decomposable systems in explaining global governance. So decomposability and non-decomposability are taken as heuristic principles, so there's no claim about a general ontological general ontological claim about international system. Rather, the assumption is that decomposability and non-decomposability somehow situational. There are situations where the international system may be may turn more non-decomposable. That may, for example, be the case in crisis or panics. And my my assumption pretty much is that generally one may assume that the international system presents some hybrid form in regard to this. Decomposability and non-decomposability has now important implication for the kind of analysis that may be conducted. So important role hereby is how we deal with the interaction and interdependencies. For non-decomposable system, interaction and interdependence are dominant. They are able to compromise the capacity of independent activity. And the system behavior results pretty much from the connectivity and organization of the components. So the specific characteristics of the components are or can be pretty much ignored, which pretty much speaks for systemic analysis. The problem is, does it really reflect the international system? As I said, it may apply to panics or some other situations with herding behavior. But as a general characterization, I think it falls too short for the international system, where we clearly have some identifiable actors with the specific roles, function they fulfill. So that speaks more for a decomposable system. That means that the analysis really can start from individual actors, and the question is how interactions and organization comes into play, and that would be more dealt with as some background conditions. the positive or the advantage of dealing with using the concept of decomposability is that it principally allows for a mechanistic approach or a mechanistic explanation or that means typically in a that proceeds typically in a two-way process, in the first step characterization of the units, and the second step then we have to look or to conceptualize the interaction process that obviously is critical for complex systems. Theoretically, the interaction complex can take many different forms, or we can mechanistic explanations can be applied to linear system and to anything. The important point for complex systems is that we are looking at interactions among and between levels, so that is already a complex, the interaction process itself is interlinked and coupled, and so we need to think how this could be somehow integrated in a mechanistic approach. Social mechanism generally is understood as complexes of interacting parts that generate causal relationships regarding component parts, component operations, and their organization, and correspondingly the mechanistic explanation has to show how this a certain collective behavior is the consequence of the orchestration of the mechanism in terms of its parts and their organization. So the requirement is the existence of somehow independent parts with intrinsic properties and the existence of a part whole hierarchy, which was also already mentioned before. To get to a better understanding of these multi-level and multi-agent interaction processes that are taking place, which may be understood as a loose coupling that combines vertical and horizontal patterns of change, I introduce the concept of a meso-level. And so the general pattern of that may be seen here.
Am I getting better here?
No, it's not moving. Nothing like basic technology.
In that case, move the overall platform.
Oh, yeah, that's the other. Oh, gotta get closer here.
So that's, I mean, there's not. So I mean, there is not much to say to see here. What I said. So I introduce a meso level as a level of process in between micro level as a level of units and macro level, the level of international institutions, and the meso level, as I said, is a level of process representing, so to speak, the fluidity of the international system. It's understood as an emergent level. So before we had heard the importance of the big rule of emergence in complex systems. So what we are looking here now is the meso level as an emergent level, as that shows some own dynamic in form of some aggregated interaction pattern. This interaction pattern I later introduce as an activator inhibitor process, which I will come to later again. The concept of emergence that is that underlies this concept is diachronic emergence, which adds a temporal dimension to the general concept of emergence, and it needs to be distinguished from synchronic emergence that is typically or often applied in complex systems theory. I mean, if you look at the mind-body problem, for example, or research on the mind-body problem, where emergence is maybe best theoretically developed, it's all synchronic emergence. So we really need to be careful what we are talking about here. Diachronic emergence is typical for developmental processes, from embryology to other developmental processes, self-organization, care theory. So these fields typically are based on diachronic emergence. So that diachronic explanations then explain how something comes about in the course of time. So time as an explanatory factor. That is important for conceptualizing downward causation, which was also already mentioned before. I mean, if you're looking at multi-level processes and endogenous processes of change that are going on that drive the global governance process, we have somehow the idea of some circular causality, that something emerges out of something and that feeds back to the components that actually originally gave rise to it. So we need some idea of downward causation, which is somehow reasonable if you talk about it, but from epistemological point of view, very controversial and not that straightforward, as it runs into the danger of some conflation of levels, or that we actually, as in non-composable systems, we lose the distinction between levels and as some people said, so that we don't have agents, we don't have a structure anymore, it's all in flux. So diachronic emergence can provide for some downward causation, and so far as the process of micro-determination is split up. So in emergence, we still have the agents from which something emerges. So we have the parts and their relationship, and now we have the relativeness as a second step that is determined by diachronic conditions. And exactly this relatedness of the parts, that is the basis or the location of downward causation that drives, to speak, this mesolevel change. Might one think, for example, at competitiveness as a classical example of relational property with the potential to feed back on the behavior of the agent. And so downward causation is here defined as the influence of the relatedness of the system's components on the behavior of the component. Okay, so I have to speak. So the important point about the mesolevel then is that it shows some own dynamic that has a very important impact to the pattern formation or institutionalization at the micro and macro levels. What concretely means may be better seen in this graph. I can only sketch that shortly. The processes there taking place at the middle level could be understood as a selection process, and this could be further structured in interaction and replication. I will skip that, but this distinction is important if you want to come to an operationalizable model, for example, for empirical research later on. So we can talk about this later if you want. I just want to shortly introduce what I just said, that the dynamic at the meso level that really that drives this process and this multi-level adaptation processes may be best understood as an activator-inhibitor model. That means activators and inhibitor interact together in a nonlinear dynamic way and form, so to speak, a trajectory that somehow structures the pattern formation process that is going on and can be used as a general analytical framework that is outlined here. But activator-inhibitor interaction may also be important as a metaphor, as already shortly said here, that metaphors are maybe very crucial for advancing complexity research agenda. It's I would like to contrast with the classical prisoner's dilemma situation or other game constellations that pretty much structure our conception when it comes to international cooperation problems or generally. What we have in prisoner's dilemma, we have a very static setup. We have fixed and given payoff structures, incentive structures. If we think of activator-inhibitor interaction as the driving force for global pattern formation or the emergence of cooperative patterns, we take explicitly dynamic perspective where payoff and incentive structures endogenously change in course of interaction. And this may provide a very different basis for our research if we base our research on rather a prisoner's dilemma or other static game constellation, or whether we take an activator-inhibitor process as a base model. I guess I stop here because I'm already out of time.
That's fine. No, can we leave that up in case someone wants to comment?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Can we, should we start back and then we've got 1, 2, 3. Yeah, please.
Very short question. Maybe
speak up.
Very short question. Maybe I've missed it, but what would you actually put into micro level? I mean, what would be there on that level, or on the meso level, on the macro level? What kind of...
At the micro level, these were international actors. States, NGOs, IOs, all those actors that,
Sorry, they were at the micro or the meso level?
These were the micro level actors, first of all. And they, from those micro actors emerge activator-inhibitor groups. And activator-inhibitor form, so to speak, subpopulations at the meso level that are composed of micro-unit actors that are, for example, pushing a certain initiative or organize themselves against something, so that there is a split up that we have at the meso level, more or less some abstract, less formalized group of WHO populations that are interacting with each other.
Like a coalition.
Coalitions, it's not necessarily formally organized groups, but coalitions may be part of that, yeah.
Okay, we had a hand here, please.
Could you put the first slide on, please? I mean, my question is kind of equivalent, I think, which is to say that for me, isn't the issue with complex systems that there is actually no meso level and there's no macro level, it is all just micro. And that maybe there's a sense of you're trying to overlay a hierarchy onto this as a kind of metaphor.
I mean, yeah, do we really only have micro levels? I mean, that's agent-based modeling, which assumes that there is only this micro level. I wouldn't say that this is generally assumed in complex.
No, it's kind of just my interpretation, but
yeah.
I just feel slightly uncomfortable with the sort of hierarchy.
I discuss that shortly. Hierarchy is not understood here in a formal sense, so
sure.
I'm not talking about formal hierarchies that are certainly not exist that much in international relations. But nevertheless, there are hierarchies insofar as connections are not equally distributed among agents, so that we have heterogeneity, symmetries among them. And I think we have all this kind of part-whole hierarchies in regard to structural effects that are also.
Maybe I'll just rephrase what I'm trying to say is that an NGO, for example, is just simply a collection of individuals that have a kind of mental projection of the fact that we're in an NGO. And so the NGO, in a sense, kind of exists within the individuals.
The NGO is taken as an individual actor. Yeah.
Exactly.
We have that we assume corporate actors to be senior actors.
Okay. I think I'll probably be a little bit pedantic, so let's carry on.
Okay, please.
I had a comment, now I've got a question. When you talk about the meso level, I get the initial thought that at the meso level you're not talking about things, but you're kind of drawn into saying they're coalitions. I mean, what is happening at the meso level? My initial feeling was I like this because this sounds like at the meso level that we're no longer talking about actors or structures or things, we're talking about processes and transactions. And
yeah.
Is that what is happening at the meso level, or are there things at the meso level?
What we are focusing on and what drives meso level is interaction, is process.
Right.
It's
not coalitions as in,
But if you're looking at fluidity and interaction, there must be somewhere who's interacting. So, but we are looking at the interaction process that is emerging and driving the pattern formation process.
Well, then simply my comment is that what I think is interesting is that you bring in the meso as a way of disrupting the idea that we're talking about fixed entities when we're talking about the micro level or at the macro level or structure and so on. The meso kind of disrupts that by focusing on the transactional process or dimension. At the meso level, it doesn't actually, it's not something you can point at, but is the site of interaction, if you want.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, please.
Just to put it differently, just to test this, isn't it that patterns emerge at the meso level through the interaction?
Mm.
So,
yes.
So that the complexity is focusing on patterns, not just on agents, but the patterns aren't laid by and they're not fixed.
Yeah.
Sometimes those patterns become institutionalized and become the macro level.
Yeah.
And then the micro level they reproduce is a replication.
Yeah.
We have a quick.
But there's replication at the meso, but it's through patterning.
Mm. Well, I have a different interpretation in the sense, an alternative interpretation, is that the meso level is the relations and connectivity between the agents, like NGOs, you know, there could be between them inhibitory or a bit confirming what you were saying.
Yeah,
earlier.
Yeah,
so that, you know, that level defines the relationship between the actors.
The relationship, but the relatedness. And I think so. I'm closer to what you are saying, to the pattern formation.
I think a consensus is emerging here, actually.
And also, I'm concerned about things being in a sense either attractive or inhibitory, because many things are multiple perspectives, haven't they? They do both at the same time.
Yeah,
so
I think we had this discussion previously. I mean that a lot of research focuses on activation, on activators, and I think really to understand the whole process, we have to think them both together and not separated, but in the way they interact with each other and change. Cause of interaction.
The NH, just sorry, I'll speak on one thing. The National Health System has had a thing where they'll have systems within systems, and they'll have the individual, and then they're wrapped within a local system, which is wrapped within a larger system, which is wrapped within a whole national health system. And so you'll often, you won't see the division, you'll see this layering of systems. But sorry, I'm not supposed to cut in. Other questions? Please.
I was worried a bit about time. You worry about time because you've got a rather simple arrow at the bottom here, which suggests there's a sort of simple linear time going on. And somebody in one of the other papers referred to the book by Andrew Abbott on Time Matters, which is an interesting book which captures the diversity of times. So there's not a sort of sense a single temporality or time regime, but also the way in which events, processes, and so on intersect over time. And in fact, especially the order in which things happen makes a huge difference. So as again people were talking earlier about path dependence, the ordering is fantastically significant. And so I didn't see in this diagram here sufficient reflection of the sort of temporal independencies and orderings in which event structures, the small event that can make a big difference or the big event that makes no difference, etc., takes place. So could you kind of put that into these multiple temporalities?
Yeah. I mean, it fits into this activator-inhibitor process, but it's really implicitly only in there. But time certainly had to be specified better. I mean, why I thought it's important to mention, right, to bring in diachronic emergence, so this fluidity of the international system, so the notion that we are always in motion somehow, and so that was the main intention, to make it here explicit, but it certainly had to be modeled more.
Because there's a previous paper about process, but of course the processes are phenomenally different in different systems, and I think we need much more capacity to capture those diverse processes, and then in a sense how each system is setting the preconditions, partly because of the different temporalities, for each system to, to use your language, to be activated or inhibited. So it's kind of actually core to all those kind of levels, rather than sort of in a sense something moving inexorably along the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a basic model that features basic relationships in a multi-level concept, but it certainly could be much more complicated.
Okay, thank you very much. All right. Coffee is hopefully ready, Eve.
Yes. Just to get us ready for the after tea session, you still need to decide which topic you want to discuss. And as I said, other topics you want to discuss, do put your names up. When you come back from tea, can you stand more or less in front of the topic that you want to take part in for the discussion? Yes, the reason why you can't be at both ends of the room at the same time, that's why you need to put your name down. And then we will allocate breakout rooms depending on the numbers of people and so on. And let me tell you what you will need to do, and I'll repeat it again at 3:30. You will need to bring back the list of people who are participating. You will need to agree between you of one contact person. And the thing to bring back and share with the rest of us is what are the key challenges that you identified and what are the next steps? What do you intend to do about it to take it to the point where we start talking seriously about a research project? Okay, so when you come back,
okay,
please stand in front of the topic.
Excellent, thank you, Eve. All right.